Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 3, we were talking about some of the doctrines of Calvinism and Catholicism. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
High-minded, here in verse 4. High-minded is to puff up one's mind until it is permanently filled with pride. It's as if they feel like I'm better than they are because of the knowledge they have is so much better than someone else. They think others are inferior to them. And they went to a little Bible class or they went to something else and they got a good college degree. Maybe they got a very prestigious degree behind their name. And so they're so much better. And they're usually the problem. Now, in these last days, I've seen an increase of this in the area of Calvinism. They're rude and disrespectful. It's if they are privy to the secret things that nobody else is, not knowing that the secret things belong to God. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says this, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So often, if I hit Calvinism in a radio broadcast, I wouldn't be surprised I get it from this broadcast today, that they will email and they'll call me ignorant. And then they'll tell me to read some book. You know what I find? That they rarely ever use the scriptures. They call me names and just really run down. And they'll say, "Why don't you read some Baptist years gone by who was a Calvinist?" Now, a lot of people know that Spurgeon was a Calvinist. But you wouldn't call him much of a Calvinist today because he liked to get out and witness and try to lead lost souls to Christ. He even said, "I may be a Calvinist in my mind, but," he says, "I'm a whosoever will in my heart." Now, Calvinism is actually Reformed Catholicism. Now, boy, I wouldn't have Catholics and Calvinists, I guess, the two C's, upset with us over that. But, you know, Augustine believed there was an invisible church made up of those that were elected, predestined to be saved. You know, there's even a part where they taught that if you're predestined, you're already, in a sense, regenerated. You're regenerated before you can be saved because dead people can't be saved, they say. So you're spiritually dead, born, and so you can't be saved unless you've been regenerated. You can't call upon the Lord to save you unless you've been regenerated. And actually, even Calvin picked up part of that. If you read his Institutes, you'd see he taught some of that. For Augustine, salvation was provided by grace through faith in the sacraments, which had to be administered by ordained clergymen. A person could not be saved apart from the church. He taught that salvation could only be received through the church via the sacraments. And by the way, this is from the book that he wrote titled The City of God, okay? This is not an accusation. I'm just quoting him. Calvin, by his own admission, reformed this teaching, but it is the ground from which Calvin mined and he gave credit to it. Hence, I have called it Reformed Catholicism. Now, its foundation then was in Catholicism, but it had reforms to it that Catholics had, that the Calvinists kind of made some reforms that the Catholics didn't have. Now, it's interesting because I said it started with Augustine. That's really not true. If you go back to Old Testament Israel, you find that instead of being God's tribe and God's people that would be a nation of priests that would take the gospel to the world, they instead thought, well, that meant only they were saved. And so they had a type of Calvinism themselves. I've heard testimonies of Jews who received Christ as their Savior say that they thought before that they were already saved because they were a Jew. They were going to heaven because they're a Jew, and that they wouldn't miss heaven unless they did something real bad, like murder, things like that. And I remember one lady giving her testimony who was actually living in adultery with a man. She was not married to him, just living with him. And yet she thought, well, that wasn't that bad, so she would probably go to heaven. And so often that is the way they go in these things. Now, it's these people that are down on us as ignorant. They don't witness. They don't really study the Bible as much as they study these books of other men. And then they'll look at you. If you don't go to their major colleges, or you don't go to Cambridge, you didn't go to Oxford, then you're ignorant. Do you know Paul, before his conversion, held that type of orientation and doctrine? He studied at the feet of Gamaliel, which would have been like saying, this guy just graduated from Harvard. He graduated across the pond. He's an Oxford man. Well, you see, God, after Paul's conversion, had to take him out to the desert and retrain him and get him right. See, most Calvinists don't know the difference between spirit and intellect. If I said this phrase, you cannot just aim at the head, you must aim at the heart. There are many of them that would have an emotional meltdown. They think Cambridge, Oxford, or the Ivy League school is the measure of spirituality instead of the Word of God and His Spirit. You see, Calvinism, in a sense, now I'm not making this accusation, but in a sense, it borders on a cult. So don't be taken in by this work that puffs up your pride. Boy, I tell you what, I could spend a lot of time on that. But you see, these people tend to be arrogant, insolent, and proud. I remember witnessing to a man one day, and he told me that he believed that he was saved. And then he went on to tell me that he was a Calvinist. So I asked him, I said, well, how do you know that you're one of the elect? That is, do you have a Bible verse that identifies those who can know they are the elect before God, before making a decision? I mean, I knew the Bible verses that shows a person how to be saved. I knew those, and I've used them often. And so, what kind of verses do you have? What passages would you show a person that shows him that he can know how he is one of the elect, so he can call on God to save him? They don't. They don't have it. See, they're like the charismatics. They go by feelings. Anytime you hear those who teach something that exalts self above others, you know it was born in pride. It is being loyal to self, not to God, not to His Word. Now, these are as the Pharisee. Do you remember that back in Luke chapter 18, verses 11 and 12? What happened there? Well, listen as I read. There it says, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, you see, he's like Paul had, he has an eye problem. You know, I fast. Twice in a week, I tithe. I pray. I am not like others. You see, it's all about I. Again, what we're looking at here is written concerning local churches of the last days. It is a mind that is lifted up with its heart against God, but loyal to itself. This high-mindedness is geared toward self, and it accounts for the daring things that go on in the local church today under the guise of worship. So what do you mean? You remember back in 2 Kings chapter 16, there was a king named Ahaz, and he went to Damascus to meet the king of Assyria, and he had defeated Israel, the northern tribes, and so King Ahaz, being the king of the southern tribe, wanted to meet this guy, and when he did, he sees an altar there. Well, let me just read it to you. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof. And Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah the priest made it against King Ahaz, came from Damascus. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached to the altar and offered thereupon. And he burnt his burnt offering and his meat offering, and poured out his drink offering, and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings upon the altar. And he brought also the brazen altar, which was before the Lord, from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put on the north side of the altar. And King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning and burnt offering, the evening meat offering, the king's burnt sacrifices, meat offering, with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their meat offering, their drink offerings, and their sprinkle upon it all the blood of the burnt offering and all the blood of the sacrifice, and the brazen altar shall be for me to inquire by. Now you notice what's going on here. He says, let's just go ahead and build this altar. I like it. Boy, it's beautiful. I like it better than ours. Takes it back there to Jerusalem, and he has them build an altar that's just like it. And they move the one out of the way there, and they say, okay, now we'll put this right here. It'll be the great altar for the people to come by to offer their burnt offerings thereon. And so he says, you go ahead and do that. You just move those things out of the way, put this right up there to front, and let us be on with it. And so that's what he did.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.